And Morning Edition continues on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. In many of our conversations about the local environment, we talk about the need for awareness, engagement, and the need to best utilize the tools and resources available. That's part of the function of what is A2 Time Bank. What is a time bank? How can it help advance issues of sustainability? We're about to find out. My guest today is Laura Pasek, and Laura is founding member of A2 Time Bank. And Laura, good morning and welcome to WEMU.
Thank you, David. I'm so excited to be here talking about A2 Time Bank.
Well, the concept of time bank is certainly nothing new, and in fact, in one form or another, has been put into practice in this area over the years. For those of us not entirely familiar, including myself, can you explain a time bank?
Sure. A time bank is a skills-sharing community, and in a time bank, members buy and sell skills, and they use their time as currency. Think of it as a huge pay-it-forward system.
How long has A2 Time Bank been up and running?
So we've only been up since April, and not that it's the first time bank in Ann Arbor. There's been a few predecessors, but this iteration using technology to really help move it forward has been around since April.
Now, I know there are some grander goals moving forward, and we will get to those in a little while. But to this point, in its first months of inception, what kind of projects are being accomplished using this system?
So we're just getting rolling. We've got 32 members, and I think about 20 hours have been exchanged. So that's 20 hours of neighbors doing favors for one another, sharing skills. I know there's been some tool sharing and expertise that goes along with that. So we're just getting rolling, but we've got huge aspirations.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. Again, I'm David Fair alongside Laura Pasek, who is founder of A2 Time Bank, and we're just starting to discuss the Time Bank philosophy. Now, I'm sure you're aware, not everyone believes in this philosophy. Frank Fisher of MIT, back as early as the 1980s, said time banks would, and I quote here, lead to the kind of distortion of market forces that crippled Russia's economy. Now, his point being that tax-exempt nonprofits that lack contractual obligation and have non-monetary time values could undermine a capitalist economy. Now, we're talking on something so small-scale here right now, it doesn't seem to apply. But how do you respond to that kind of criticism should something like this take off and become an integral part of our economic force?
Well, I hate to break it to that researcher, but it is an integral part of our economic force. It's called the core economy. And it's all the productivity that's happening within families and neighborhoods. And time banks seek to enhance the economy. It's a lot of times it's what's already happening. We're just helping to make it more efficient and helping to broaden it. And I also would say that time banks are a really rolling movement. They're gaining steam all over the country, and they're here to stay. People want to share, and they want to share skills and get new information from their neighbors. And
this is a depot for human resources.
Exactly. And you know, you have a neighborhood. I live in the Water Hill neighborhood in Ann Arbor. And it's only when you start collaborating that you understand the deep talent that exists in your neighborhood. And this is, it's just going to bolster the economy. It's not taking away from some small business. So, for example, in our time bank, most of what's been happening is things that somebody wouldn't go to a frame shop to get something reframed. They would have just left the picture sitting in their basement. Mm-hmm. Then they discover, hey, their neighbor knows how to reframe something and wants to actually do that for them. So that's the type of thing that's happening here.
So they do that, and then you go shovel their driveway.
Well, or teach them something. It's more about teach a man how to fish.
Okay.
That type of stuff. So it's not really, at this point, it's not really being used for things that you would otherwise pay for, like handyman services or legal services. It's more promoting skill sharing.
I love the idea of a skill exchange, but is it organizationally sustainable? Because there are costs involved, and even though there's no actual monetary exchange, how can it work with turnover, volunteerism, and ongoing real and perpetual costs associated with running such a depot?
Right. So that's where I come in. It takes a really dedicated organizer to keep it rolling. You're right. It does cost a lot of time. The way that I see it being sustainable is really getting organizations involved. There's a strong sense of volunteerism already in Ann Arbor. And what I see the time bank being used for in the future is organizations getting on board where they get volunteers, but then in exchange, they think about their resources and their assets in a new way. So sharing their resources and their assets. And a great example of this is a Habitat for Humanity organization that got involved with their local time bank. And they started a farmer's market in their parking lot in exchange for getting volunteers. So they had this steady stream of volunteers, and they were using their parking lot, which was otherwise unused on Saturdays, to have a farmer's market in the community. Everybody wins in that scenario.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Again, I'm David Fair, and we're talking with Laura Pasek today. Laura is one of the founders of A2 Time Bank, and we're discussing exactly what a time bank is, where it's working, and where it's growing. And now we're going to take a little deeper look at how it might help with environmental sustainability issues right here at home. Now, that was a great example with Habitat for Humanity. As you talk about expanding and working with more organizations, do you see the time bank working with groups like the Huron River Watershed Council, the Ecology Center, or Michigan League of Conservation Voters to exchange skills, efforts, and time? What would you expect in exchange?
So organizations like that have such a broad knowledge base, and people want to learn. So what I see in the future of the Time Bank is organizations like that getting on board, holding seminars, holding classes, people engaging, and in exchange, helping out with sustainability. For example, there's the Department of Natural Resources in Ann Arbor, which mm-hmm. does some invasive plant
monitoring.
They cut down invasive plants, and that's a great thing. People want to know how to identify invasive plants, and hey, in exchange, you go and volunteer an hour or two to cut down some honeysuckle in the local parks.
So as we extrapolate that out, getting involved in that very small way, what kind of larger difference could that mean in the quality of life and the quality of environment in which we live?
So I think that shifting our thinking to this sharing model is just really trying to think about things in a new light. So thinking about, you know, upcycling your old furniture rather than tossing it. Thinking about buying, you know, only a certain amount of equipment and availing it to your neighbors. So this is the type of environmental impact that shifting our thinking to sharing could do. So instead of every household in the 100 family radius having their own KitchenAid mixer, which we only use
right.
once a year, let's share. You can come over and grab my mixer, you know, the one time that you need it, and, you know, share what you've got. And it's just, it's using resources so much more efficiently.
And I certainly don't want to sound the pessimist, but this flies in the face of how we've spent the last 20 or 30 years kind of developing our little individual islands within neighborhoods and disengaging from one another. It's going to be an extraordinary education process to make this thing fly fully, isn't it?
It's definitely not within the traditional thinking of consumerism. I agree with that. It's thinking about resources in a new light and, you know, getting people not to just go out and buy something new every time they need it and not go and, you know, go to Home Depot. Instead, think, hey, maybe my neighbor has the skills and the resources to help me with this project.
Finally, if people would like to learn more or get involved, what's the best resource for that information?
So you can go to our website, a2timebank.org, and you're welcome to click join and apply to be a member. We would love to have you. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention our mentor organization, a2share.org. And also, if you're here in Ypsilanti, there's the Ypsilanti Hour Exchange, and they're doing a great job as well.
Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Laura Pasek, founder of Ann Arbor Time Bank. Again, for more information, go to a2timebank.org. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and it's heard only on 89.1 WEMU.